radio home of the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, the Sabres visit. It's friendly. The Montreal Canadiens tonight at 7:30. You can catch pregame coverage on MSG and WGR. Buffalo rallied for a 4-3 win over the Habs a few weeks ago in the team's first meeting. Both teams currently occupy the second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference champion, or the Eastern Conference champion, Eastern Conference through 15 games. Got a new writer of this thing. NHL action last night. TJ Oshie scored the winner late as the Capitals topped the Penguins 2-1. Evgeny Malkin was ejected for a hit to the head on Oshie in the third period. Colton Sisson scored a hat trick as the Predators beat the Avalanche 4-1 in a playoff rematch. Ryan Getzlaf scored the game winner as the Ducks beat the Flames 3-2. Oilers forward Milan Lucic avoided a suspension but was fined $10,000 for roughing Lightning forward Matthew Joseph. Tune into One Bills Live with John Murphy and Steve Tasker from 12 to 3 on MSG and WGR. Former Bill Marcellus Wiley and Bills receiver Terrell Pryor are scheduled to join the show this afternoon. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell is reportedly in Pittsburgh but still has yet to report to the team. Bell must sign his franchise tender or sign a one-year deal with the team ahead of the November 13 deadline in order to retain his eligibility for the season. The 5-2-1 Steelers host the 6-2 Panthers tonight on Thursday Night Football. Saints wide receiver Cameron Meredith is being placed on injured reserve and will undergo arthroscopic knee surgery. The IR move could partially explain the Saints' decision to assign wide receiver Dez Bryant on Wednesday. The Miami Dolphins have been fined $30,000 and head coach Adam Gase was fined $15,000 for their handling of Ryan Tannehill's injury. The team was fined for listing Tannehill as a full participant on the practice report for October 11th when he should have been listed as limited. That's your sports update for today. I'm Andrew Peters. Back over to the very hot and heated instigators over here on WGR 550 and MSG. Sabre 7:30 puck drop tonight. 7 o'clock pregame show on MSG. 6:30 with Shope and Bulldog on WGR 550 and MSG. Jaina Hefford, four-time gold medalist, one-time silver medalist, Olympic hockey player, will be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame tonight, along with a very, very elite class. You have Mr. Gary Bettman going in. You have former teammate of mine, proud to say that too, Martin Brodeur, friend of mine, Jaina Hefford going in. The ultimate pioneer maybe in all of sports, Willie O'Ree, definitely hockey, Willie O'Ree. Martin St-Louis and Yakushev, Vitaly Yakushev, is that his name? I should know that one, but Yakushev, one of the Russian greats from the Soviet team. Like, he was the guy when the Oilers used to do like fancy moves in practice, Gretzky and Messier and all these guys. They used to say that was Yakushevian. Those are Gretzky's words. I saw that in an interview once. So anyway, Yakushev.
So super skilled, obviously.
I gotta look up.
What do you think about Gary going in there?
You know what? I there have been arguments, both sides of the coin on this.
Yep.
I've heard them all. And while I have some differences of opinion with Gary Bettman, I agree with this. I think what he's done for the growth of the game when he came in as the commissioner, you know, he's going in as a builder. You looked whatever revenues were. You'd be able to know better than I would, but they were.
Back in 1994,
$700 million maybe.
Back in 1994-95, when I came into the NHL, league-wide revenues were $400 million.
Yeah.
Now we're fast forwarding to 2018, and they're upwards of what $4-5 billion.
Yeah, dollars. I think last year was maybe
Gary
4.
Bettman
7
is
billion?
Truly he has been a genius for the game, for the owners. For the players, I you know, the players are making a lot of money, and it's because of what he's done for the game. And yes, he's kind of bombed in a few markets here and there, but you're going to have a few speed bumps in your road.
You're not my striking only out, thing, you're not trying.
My only thing is he's a surefire lock for going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. There's no question. But why now? Why not wait until he's done his time in the NHL? That's
you say that, and I make and hope maybe this opens the door to other things too. Like, Let's get Sidney Crosby in the Hall of Fame. Let's get Malkin in the Hall of Fame. Let's get Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying Austin Matthews. I'm not saying Connor McDavid. You have guys that have sustained and reached some serious play and milestones. They're Hall of Famers. Marian Hossa.
Like, they're not done their career yet.
I understand they're not done their career, but if you're trying to build the game, like, why not have like Hall of Famers rolling in? Like, look at tonight in Toronto, we're going to have Sidney Hall of Famer Sidney Crosby and Hall of Famer Evgeny Malkin facing off against the Baby Leafs and Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner,
William Nylander. You don't have to say that, though, because people already know that they're going to be Hall of Famers. They already know. You can't put a person in the Hall of Fame until he's done his career. He's not even finished his career yet.
I don't know. I think it's cool to go see a band.
The way I look at it, Sidney Crosby is 31 years old. Like, he could play another 10 years if you want.
Yeah, he could. So why not have a Hall of Famer for 10 years in the league playing? You get to see a Hall of Famer while he's a Hall of Famer. He's already a Hall of Famer. He's already done enough to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, the argument could have been made, Gretzky. Gretzky should have been put in the Hall of Fame when he hit his first 1,000 points in like 4 years in the league. Wasn't that enough? That's Hall of Fame worthy. You know, like, I'm not saying certain guys might need to win. You know, like Ovi last year, you might have said, he just won a cup. Get him in there. Get Hall of Famer Alex Ovechkin flying around, you know, when he goes and rolls into a team. You have head-to-head Hall of Famers. The future Hall of Fame thing is like, we got to wait for their season to end or their career to end, then 3 years. And it's just, come on, let's get being with the times
inducted,
here. Let's
being
get
inducted into the Hall of Fame is the ultimate prize in the game of hockey.
I don't know if that's true. I bet if you ask some Hall of Famers that never won a cup, I bet you they'd say they trade it. I bet you Sundin would trade his Hall of Fame ring and Hall of Fame jacket for a cup any day of the week.
Yes, I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. But you understand what I'm saying? It's the ultimate, prestigious thing that you have played. All these players have played this game since they were very, very young boys, all the way through, all the speed bumps, the up and downs. There's been a lot of good, a lot of bad, and they get to this point, and now the game is over. The game is done. And these guys that are going into the Hall of Fame, they're the ones that have built the game and made it what it is. They're the fan base and everything else. I just think it needs to be done once your career's done.
Ask Hall of Famer, or I don't know, does she consider herself a Hall of Famer yet or not yet? Jaina Hefford, the 4-time Olympic gold medal winning female hockey player, silver medalist. Well, Riv's giving you the golf clap over here. Jaina, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
It's great to have you on. It's taken long enough, I can tell you that much.
I know. It's been a while, but I'm happy to chat with you guys.
Well, let's, first of all, congratulations on being named the commissioner of the CWHL. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. You're obviously the right person for the job, but what did that mean coming up to you?
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's there's kind of a lot sort of happened all at once, but having the opportunity to work within the sport at this level and hopefully have a really positive impact on the sport and the direction of the sport and always keeping sort of the players front of mind, I think, is something that's really special, and definitely appreciate the opportunity I have here.
I want to get to the Hall of Fame stuff, but I also want to talk to you more about the women's hockey. I mean, do you keep track on what's going on over here in the U.S. with the Women's Hockey League?
I do try to keep up with it, yeah. I mean, obviously, a lot of our job, we're focused on, our operations here and making sure everything's going smoothly, but certainly, looking forward to the vision of women's hockey, it's certainly, I think we all want to get to a point where we have one league that has the best players in it. And that's sort of the focus, is trying to navigate that road. And how do we get there is the big question. And so obviously the NWHL is a big part of that.
And how long, what's your vision for something like that? Because I'm going to tell you, we get to watch the Buttes down at the rink, and I'm going to tell you, these girls,
some of your former
these girls
too,
are outstanding. I mean, it is really fun to watch. I got to catch a game this year, and the pace of play, the puck movement, the skill level on these girls is absolutely awesome. So how long until you start to feel like you're going to be able to build a league that has all the best girls in one league?
Well, I hope, sooner than later, certainly. But it's just there's a lot of challenges that, from the outside, it seems pretty easy. But there's different models, maybe potentially different visions. But it's something we all know we have to get to. So I've only been on the job now for sort of 3 months or so. So I was kind of thrown in all, into all of this, and I'm trying to, you know, do my due diligence and figure out what I believe is the right direction for the sport.
You're going in the Hall of Fame, Janet. You can't make any excuses, eh?
I know.
So let's talk about that. You like back all the way back when you first started playing. I mean, women's hockey is nowhere near what it is. I mean, I'm not.
When did you start playing?
I started playing when I was about 6 years old. I grew up in Kingston, Ontario, and I mean, the Hall of Fame is never something. I don't think anybody really dreams of going in the Hall of Fame. You dream of playing in the NHL or winning Stanley Cups, but you know, going in the Hall of Fame is sort of, I don't know, I guess the sort of echelon of your career. And it's, you know, it's actually kind of nice that there's that 3 year waiting period that every player has to go through. And cause it allows you to kind of reflect back on your career on a different level, I think, and just appreciate, you know, everything that went into it and all the people that were a big part of it.
I was just saying to Craig before you joined the show, I'm not sure if you caught it. I said, you know, like, let's get with the times. I can't believe you just countered my argument. I didn't even bring it up to you. I said, let's get some of these guys that are currently playing inducted in the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know, like if you're selling the game, you know, get so-and-so in the Hall of Fame, whether it's women's hockey or men's hockey, it doesn't matter. I mean, you get to sell a Hall of Famer or two or three on each team coming to any rink in any town at any time. That was only my argument, but I can see that side of it.
Yeah, I think that the ability to really reflect on it is on the accomplishment is something that's pretty special, and I think it makes it, you know, more valuable in my opinion. But
so let's reflect on your career. We're talking to Jaina Hefford, 5-time Olympic medalist, 4 gold, 1 silver. Obviously, part of those huge and heated rivals with the U.S. And let's reflect. What are some of your you know, fondest memories of playing?
You know, obviously winning medals and standing on the blue line, hearing your anthem, those things always come to mind. But certainly once you leave the game, it's also, you know, all the good times you have and the teammates and the bus rides. And, you know, I'm going to have a few teammates with me on Monday nights. And it's just, you know, it's special to share that with them because at the end of the day, the game is fun if you have a passion for it. And I always played. And the reason I played so long and that I'm still working in it now is that I love the game. And I think that it provides so much in terms of character and who you become. And, you know, it's just become all-encompassing. But it's mostly those times, the teammates, that I really look back on and enjoy.
So when I retired, I went through a transition. It's hard. And I feel like a lot of pro athletes talk about it. Athletes, Olympic athletes talk about it. Was there a transition period out of the game for you that was difficult? I mean, I know, I do remember when you were playing for Brampton, you had a job, you were working while you were playing and took those times off during the Olympic years, but was there a tough transition heading away from the game, or did it not affect you at all?
I think my transition was a little bit easier than probably I expected. Simply, I think there's a few reasons. One being that, it was my decision to step away from the game at that time. I had competed in 5 Olympic Games, and I had played 17 years with the national team, and I felt like, you know, I was comfortable with what I had left there. So there was that. There was also the last few years of my career, I focused on, you know, doing some further education and different things that allowed me to feel like I had other things to offer. And then the third thing, and probably the most important thing, was after I retired shortly after that, I got pregnant, and I had a few young kids after that, so when that happens, as I'm sure you guys all know, the priorities change pretty quickly, and the idea of just being a mom was pretty appealing too. So I miss the game when I go out and play, and I remember how fun it was, but at the same time, I'm so appreciative of what I had throughout my career.
Would you be saying that if those were all 5 silvers, Jaina?
I don't know. Good question.
You know, that's, you know, when I'm just sitting here and I'm looking at like what you've done over the course of what you're saying, the 17 year career, this is insane. Like, I mean, you must be bleeding gold right now. It's just like, I feel like cutting you open and just seeing what comes out of you. It's awesome. It's been such an amazing career. And, you know, I like when you look at all of these moments, these Olympics, the World Championships, what's the greatest? Is there one moment out there that sticks out in your mind out of all this amazing career? Is there one moment that sticks out?
2002?
Yeah, 2002 would be up there, being obviously our first Olympic gold medal, coming off of losing in 1998, and also being a team, you know, we weren't expected to win. So the way that all happened was pretty special.
Scored the game winner. She's being humble. She scored the game winner in the Olympic gold medal.
I was just waiting to see
against
who was,
who was
that
against, Jaina?
That was against the U.S.
Oh.
Yeah, but then I also had the opportunity to play in Olympic Games in Canada in Vancouver, which was so special, and to have, you know, so many friends and family there. And my final game in Sochi was probably one of the best, craziest hockey games I ever played in, and it ended up being my last. So, you know, just so many fond memories looking back on it all.
Some friends that you've made out of the game, I mean, like, what's the camaraderie like in an Olympic year? Because I remember you came to Ridley and spoke, and I was able to be there and listen to you talk, and you were talking to the kids about, you know, the year when you guys, did you guys go to Newfoundland or something and train for a year? Yeah.
Yeah, so prior to Olympics, we would always do a boot camp, we called it, and it was sort of a 4 or 5 week camp where you were, you know, forced to live in close quarters and train crazy amounts of, in terms of the volume of training, and basically get kind of pushed to the limits of your physical and mental capacity. But part of the purpose of that, obviously, is bringing people closer together and finding out who people really are when they're in those most intense and stressful situations. And those were a big key to our success, I think, over the years, just, you know, that preparation leading into each Olympic cycle.
Have you had a chance? We're talking to Jaina Heffert, five-time Olympian, 4 gold medals, 1 silver, Canadian Hockey Olympic player. She's going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Have you had a chance to sit back and look at the class of players that you are being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame with?
Yeah, when I saw it announced, I was pretty impressed. So it's pretty neat to be in a class like that. I think, you know, I was thinking about my speech, and it's like there's so many great stories there, you know, people that have really defied the odds in different ways, and that's a pretty cool story in addition to their obvious talent for the game.
Well, do you know Marty Brodeur or Marty St. Louis just from crossing paths as Canadian representatives?
Yeah, we've crossed paths at events and certainly, you know, kind of had handshakes or said hello, but it'll be nice to have an opportunity to kind of speak a bit more over the weekend, I'm sure.
Now my last question, because we're pushing up against the clock. Do you still have my hockey stick?
Of course.
Because
I was actually.
What's that? I moved this summer and I went through a bin, Jaina, and I came across this white Team Canada jersey, number 16, Heffert. Doesn't fit me, but I wanted to say this. You wore that, I think, in the silver medal game or against Finland, or the gold medal game against Finland.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
I remember giving it to you. Yeah,
but did you guys lose that game?
You kept it though, right?
Yes, I still have it. Of course.
Okay.
Did you lose that game?
What year was it?
I don't know. I don't know which one it was. It was the one after. Might have been. What was the one?
Andrew
after?
Doesn't even know what day it is right
now. So 06, maybe.
It
might have been 06, Jaina.
Well, we never lost to Finland in a world championship.
Okay.
Is that who you said we played?
I don't remember who it was, but anyway, cool story.
I got a question. I got a quick question for her.
Jaina and I swapped apparel. I gave her my
pink. No one cares about your apparel.
I gave her my pink breast cancer awareness stick that I used in a game, and she gave me a game-worn jersey.
Awesome.
There you go.
I don't know if that was a good trade, was it?
What's that, sorry?
Was that a good trade?
For me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So you're living in Kingston right now. I have to ask, were you a Frontenacs fan when you were growing up?
I was when I was growing up. I'm not living there now. I'm in Toronto. I've been here for quite some time, but my family's still in Kingston, so I get back there often. But yes, I did watch the Frontenacs growing up.
Awesome.
And you don't remember a guy by the name of Craig Rive? Had 78 points 1 year in junior. I haven't heard the end of it.
I do remember the name, yeah. I don't know if we ever met, though.
You would remember meeting this guy because he looks like Brad Pitt with what, Riv?
Fat lip.
Bottom lip.
Okay. I guess we didn't meet then.
You know, you definitely didn't. Jaina, thank you so much for your time. Can't thank you enough. Good luck and enjoy all the festivities.
Congratulations.
And very well deserved. So happy to have you on the show. Proud to know you. Proud to call you a friend. Right. So thank you very much. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Awesome. Take care. Jaina Heffert, kind enough to join us here on, what is it, Thursday, River?
Thursday.
She is a five-time Olympian, 4 gold medal, 1 silver, and she's being inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame amongst some pretty elite company. Gary Bettman, Marty Brodeur, Jayna Hefford, Willie O'Ree, Marty St. Louis, and still waiting on confirmation. Is it Vitaly Yakishev?
Sure.
Okay. Sergey Vitaly.
Yep.
Ivan.
Dangle Mitz,
Yakishev. All right. We'll be right back. More Instigators. We're going to do a preview of tonight's 7:30 game in Montreal. Games on MSG. 7 o'clock pregame show.
Super excited.
And 6:30 pregame show on WGR 550. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Thank you to Jayna Hefford for your time today. Hall of Fame weekend coming up. Gary Bettman, Martin Brodeur, Jayna Hefford, Willie O'Ree, Marty St. Louis, and this Yakishev guy who I know all about, but except for his first name. We're going to find that. It might be Igor. Figure that out right now. Can you say something, please, to kill some air for me so I can... Alexander, how do you guess four Russian names and not guess Alexander? It's my dad's name. Alexander Petrovsky is the origin of my father's name. So my dad's going to own me for this, for not you knowing Alexander Yakishev, because my dad's Russian and he knows who Yakishev is. But anyway, some great company. What?
Nothing. I'm just thinking about the game tonight. In game mode already.
Well, I will say this. Let's get right into game mode then. I feel like everyone says it's still early, but I feel like these two teams are wild card one, wild card two. And if you want to sustain momentum and, you know, stay in that hunt, and I'm not saying the hunt is now, but for the team it is. Like, this team, they have to win tonight. This is a must-win game for the Sabres. These are the games that you talk about. You got to win the games against Montreal. You got to win the games against Ottawa. You got to win these games. This is that game.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, not to scoreboard look already, but we're doing it because that's just what we like to do.
When was the last time our team was in the playoffs this late in the season?
Yeah. So you have Buffalo that's sitting at 16 points right now. But you have to look at the guys that are behind you, and there's four teams that have 15 points. So... you lose one or two games, you can drop from a wild card all the way down to the bottom of the barrel here in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you have to be consistent. Consistent teams, the ones that are picking up points, the ones that are playing, you know, consistent hockey, they're the ones that that are going to be moving forward in this long, long season. But right now we're 15 games in, and it's like we're talking about the playoffs.
I thought you were going to say order the rings. I thought you were about to say we're ordering the rings, because we're not ordering it.
No.
You know what we're doing? We're acknowledging the fact that the Sabres are in an area that they haven't been in a long time. To actually have a game like this where they can move up in the standings and maybe be in the top three in the division, or at least still in a playoff spot. I mean, I think that is an accomplishment. I mean, you want to talk about baby steps. I mean, the next step is now you're there. The next step is staying there. So now your games have to be extra clean, extra squeaky clean. You got to be making smarter decisions. You got to be playing hard. You got to bring your A game every single night.
Division games, the old cliche. It's a four-point game.
Well, don't you want to be playing well tonight?
This is huge.
Because you have Vancouver rolling in here, and I'm not trying to look too far ahead in the schedule, but you have Vancouver coming in here, and you have Tuesday, you have Tampa Bay, then you have Winnipeg, and then you're on the road for three games in four nights.
Yeah, Winnipeg and Minnesota are not going to be easy games. Obviously, Tampa Bay is... I mean, they're the best in the league right now. They're deep all the way up through their lineup.
We're going to see Carey Price tonight, my guess. I haven't checked morning skate yet.
Absolutely, you're going to see Carey Price at home. No question. They look at Buffalo, and they want to stay ahead of them in the standings right now. Montreal with 18 points. Buffalo with 16. This is a four-point game. 2 points we can gain. 2 points the other team will lose. The Sabres, listen, I mean, the Sabres, Marty's been saying this for a while, that their last game that they played against the Rangers, they played very well. There was a lot of very, very good things that the Sabres did, and they've got to build off that. They've got to take that positivity, even though it was a loss. They got to take some positive out of that and say, listen, if we continue to play this brand of hockey, it's going to win us more games than what we're going to lose.
Here's Montreal's lineup tonight. Tell me what you think. Tell me if this makes you nervous, all right? Okay, you ready? Tatar, Dano, Gallagher, Drouin, Domi, Shaw, Agostino, Kokkaniemi, Lekkonen, Delorier, Pekka, Hudon, Ben, Petrie, Alsner, Riley, Ouellette, Mete, Yulson, Schlemko, Price, Niemi. Does that worry you? I look at this team on paper, and I think the Sabres on paper, other than Carey Price, that's their only roadblock.
This team on paper, it could be one of the worst in the National Hockey League. I mean, there's no one in that lineup that will make you fear. But I'm going to tell you, they are a very, very fast-paced team. They play this game extremely, extremely fast. And that's what's giving all these teams that are playing against the Canadiens fits. Is the puck movement from their back end. Their forwards are playing with a tremendous amount of speed. And you've got this young buck and Max Domi, who the last two seasons has scored 9 goals a year in the last two seasons. Well, he currently has 9 goals in 15 games.
I know he does. That's because he's playing fantastic. Told everybody, hey, look out for this guy. Don't underestimate him. And I said when Sam Reinhart's contract was being, I said this guy is a guy that you can compare. You know, when you're talking about contracts and things like that. So
you know what he is. Is he's that guy that I think has a lot of fun. He's a guy that when he comes to work, he gives 150%. He can be physical. He can be highly insanely talented and skilled. He plays an all-around game, but he also plays with emotion. And when you can get emotional in Montreal, those fans can be... They can be an extra player on the ice because they can get nuts. They can get nuts.
Don't you think his rugged edge is what gives him the edge on his lack of size? I mean, it's just like his father. He's his father just with way more skill.
Yeah.
And he's a centerman.
He's 5'10". He's 195 pounds. He's a fire hydrant. He's very, very powerful. But his skill level is off the chart. I mean, I've seen this from the days that he was playing for the London Knights in the OHL. He does things with the puck that are pretty impressive. They're beautiful. And you know what? He's had some nice success in his first couple years in the NHL, but he also has that Ty Domi in him. He has that Domi in him that he, you know what? He's not backing down from anybody, and he knows right from wrong. But he plays the game. He plays the game really nice. I like his style. Very highly skilled players, but he plays with skill, and he's playing great. He's playing absolutely fantastic for the Canadiens.
Here's the
right
kicker:
now.
The Sabres need to play the exact. I wouldn't ask them to change anything from the Ranger game. The only difference is they got to try to score because they're running into a goaltender very much like Henrik Lundqvist.
And how do you do that?
If you get Carey Price, but listen, I'm not throwing Niemi. I'm not going to just say he's garbage. He's been playing pretty well. But anyway, okay. How do you solve Price?
How do you solve any great goaltender? You have to get traffic. You have to get guys in front of him. You have to make these players, Lundqvist and Carey Price, you have to make them feel uncomfortable in their surrounding, in their net. They have to be looking around, trying to look around players so they're not set. If they're set, you will never score on them, ever. They're just too good. You have to make these guys get off their game, look around, and there's got to be a tremendous amount of traffic and pucks going to the net tonight.
In the Emmys, 3-1. 313 goals against, 893 save.
Big fan of Niemi. He should have been out of the league 2 years ago, but that's just my opinion.
He's 35 years old.
He struggled for years. And you know what? I mean, he was a great goaltender. He's won a Stanley Cup with Chicago. He's played some great hockey, but I think his best years are certainly behind him. But he seems to find new life here in this young Montreal team. And
he played 19 games last year for the Habitants, had 2.46 goals against, and was 7.5-4, and a .929 save percentage. I mean,
yeah, on a team that struggled immensely. Right, he came in and played some pretty good hockey for him, and that's why he's there again next this year.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm guessing we're going to see Carey Price tonight. Simple as that. But
who are we going to see?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Allmark. I'd play Allmark. Have they announced it yet? Do we know? I don't think we know yet. Do we?
We do not know, but.
I'd play Allmark.
If you're thinking the bigger out of the two games, Rangers or the Montreal Canadiens, wouldn't you think it'd be the Montreal Canadiens? Wouldn't you have your number one ready for the Montreal Canadiens? It's a huge game. Huge.
Sabres lines are Skinner, Eichel, Pominville. Best line in hockey right now. Sobotka, Rodriguez, Reinhardt. Interesting. What do you think of that? Sherry, Mittelstadt, Oposo, Berglund, Larson, Gergensen, McCabe, Risto, Scandella, Bogosian, Beaulieu, and Dahlin. No call on goaltender yet. Anything there? Float your boat.
Well,
Skinner, Eichel, Pominville got to be good tonight. I'll tell you that.
Well, I mean,
they have to continue to be the best line. Unfortunately, the pressure's on that line every single night.
Until there is a line that is going to step up to the plate right now and help with secondary scoring, because we are not getting it from enough guys. Pominville, Eichel, Skinner—they're going to be heavily relied on.
Can I ask you this? I was talking to you guys about it the other day. Did you notice that on the power play, Reinhardt's in for Pominville. Pominville's out of there, but still on that top line. I mean, move to get Rhino going. I call him Rhino.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. Like, I mean, Sam Reinhardt has been the net front presence guys for the last couple years. He's had success. He's a pretty solid player in front of that net on the power play, and they're looking to try and get him going. Like, I mean, no one right now is saying that, Sam Reinhardt is playing some great hockey. They need more from Sam. I mean, and my issue that I have is that anybody on this team that doesn't play with Jack seems to struggle. And that's a problem. We need guys that can step up and make other guys better instead of just Jack Eichel. Like, whoever plays with Jack is going to have success. You have Connor Sheary up there at the start of the year. He scored a couple goals. Everything's great. You know, it just doesn't matter who plays with Jack. Jack is so good at making players around him better.
I don't know what you're saying there is true, that anybody you put with Jack plays well. I think they can definitely capitalize if they touch the puck before he gets it, because there's a chance every time he has the puck that he could score.
Look at Jeff Skinner. He started.
I think it takes a certain type of player to be able to play with a player like Jack, to be able to figure out what he's going to do because of the unpredictability that Jack plays with. Like, that's why Pominville's good. He's so good at reading the play. He's not trying to do too much. He's not trying to be the hero. He's just trying to be there, and he's there. That's why I feel like that's working out. I don't think Jack is as easy to play with. Like, it's just boom, boom. You step on his line, he plays well. I think he's very complicated to play with, because you have no idea what he's ever going to do or what speed he's going to go at.
Well, let me ask you this. You have no idea if he's going to shoot it from that. Do you know what Palmer's
going to do? Going to go to the net.
Do you know how he's going to play? He's going to go up and down his ice.
Same way.
He's got the ability to make small area plays. He's got a great shot, and he's got a knack for the net. That's why he's having success.
If you look at
Sam Reinhardt, Reinhardt's the same thing. Palmer and Sam Reinhardt are very similar players.
You need a guy on Jack's line that does not care about getting the glory, and that's why Pominville fits so well there, because Skinner needs the glory. We need Skinner to have the glory for this team to win. Pominville doesn't care. Pominville's just, hey, I'm a dinosaur, so I'm just here to play, boys. That's how I view it. All right, we're out of here.
Just called your little buddy a dinosaur.
1,000 games, shoe fits. We'll be right back.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, welcome back. Time to do our buy sell trade, which, if you listen to the show enough, it's presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. So here's a tap in for you on Hall of Fame weekend. Just had a Hall of Famer on, Jana Heffert, at 11:15. You can check that out in the audio vault. Buy, sell, trade, Riff. Former Sabres forward Alexander Mogilny should be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Buy, sell, trade.
I'm going to buy this. I think his statistics stand for itself. He's over 1,000 points in the National Hockey League. I think 1,032. He's got 990 games played. He scored how many goals in his first year?
Was it 76?
Was it 70? I think it was 76, right?
I'll look right now. Might not have been his rookie.
He's also the first Russian-born player to defect to the National Hockey League.
His rookie year. No, he scored 76.
Scored 76.
Yeah.
First Russian-born player to defect to the National Hockey League, and that story with Jerry Meehan. I mean, it's legendary. I mean, this. I just think that his playing career was absolutely fantastic. Did a lot of great things.
You got to get Don Luce on to talk about that again, because every time he comes on to tell that story, he's been on once for sure and told that story. He's been on with us a few times, but that story—it's
almost like I'm looking at the picture of Alexander Mogilny, obviously when he was a young buck. It looks like him and Pominville have the same wig on. It's like the afro head,
the curly hair. I agree. That's the first impressive thing. That's the first thing that I thought too. I'm buying this. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. It's a shame he's not in there already. And that's that. We'll be back tomorrow. Recap everything from the Sabres game tonight, 7:30 puck drop. Pre-game show, 7 o'clock on MSG with Marty and Duffer, 6:30 on WGR 550 with Chopin Bulldog, Andrew Craig. We're out. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.